Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. Caitlin.
Timothy.
Caitlin.
Yes, I know you. So the thing that we really didn't want to happen happened.
Yeah, yes.
The thing we've been working so hard to try and stop occurred. Trump and France and the UK bombed Damascus this morning.
Yeah, and like Homs and one other place. I can't remember. I don't know. My head's all full of information.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And so, like, I haven't written an article for a couple of days. We haven't done a podcast. There's just too much. There's too much, and there's also not enough to form a narrative of what's going on.
Yeah, it's just this big shapeless mass, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like...
It's like, all right, well, that's okay, so now the Russians are saying they're going to give it surface-to-air missiles to the Syrians. I'll just add that on there. That also is a thing, okay?
Yeah. They're also saying they've got evidence that Britain was behind the chemical attacks.
Yep.
There's just so much going on. Who the fuck knows what's like? And I do feel like Alex Jones right now.
Like, oh man, how great was that?
I think I get the feelings of the whole planet, really. Like, yeah. So, yeah, he basically had a massive fuck Trump rant.
Yeah.
And like, then a bit of a cry.
Literally, like... So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Cursing a lot.
Yeah, cocksucker. There was a lot of bad words, a lot of naughty words.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
It was
cathartic to listen to, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, he talked the way you kind of assume Alex Jones should talk.
Right.
Most of the time. He put all of his Alex Jones energy, just totally took the cork off of it.
Yeah. So he feels really betrayed because, I mean, you know, the Trump people have been working hard to make all the weird things that are happening with, you know, and the weird decisions that Trump is making, putting John Bolton on, changing everything around, basically creating the swamp around himself, etc., trying to make that work in some way, trying to apologize it away and stuff. And no, he knows what he's doing, 5D chess. That just all fell away for him today when, you know, they said that they would never... He said that he didn't want any intervention in Syria. He was relentless about that. And Trump had, like, made, you know, pleas to the Obama administration not to do anything in Syria.
Right.
Over and over and over on Twitter, you know, back in 2013. So there was, and he went in. That was basically a big part of his platform was to just get the fuck out of Syria. And here we are. His whole statement was, it had lies in it.
Yeah, it was just bullshit. And it's like they're not bothering to manufacture consent.
They're just bullying this through.
They're just, yeah, we're just going to do this. Just going to do this to you.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. You might just lay back and relax because this is going to happen.
I mean, it's like, you can see it's the same as Iraq, but Iraq occurred over months and months. There was like months of manufacturing the consent for Iraq, and
right.
And even you know, before the bombs fell, they didn't quite have everyone on board, but or, you know, they didn't have their 50% or whatever. But then, I guess they expect once the bombs start falling down, everyone's patriotism kind of takes over, and then they line up behind you.
I think Iraq did have majority support initially.
Oh, not here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No. In America, I mean, it was... I mean, I lived in one of the most liberal parts of America, and I was arguing with people every day.
Right.
About it. Because I remember that statistic. Like, 6 months after the invasion, three-quarters of Americans or something like that... No, 70% of Americans still believed that Saddam had something to do with 9/11.
Right.
we were very thoroughly propagandized.
Right. Well, that has not happened here. There's been... it barely happened. And the whole of the US went, ah! Like... there was a lot of shouting at each other, and but any of the polls that I saw go up, and they didn't seem to want to go ahead and do any major polls for this, but any Twitter polls or that went up for this were like anti-strikes. There were a couple that were diddled with. Even the Fox and Friends one was clearly
yeah, there's substantial evidence that the Fox and Friends poll was tampered with.
Yeah, to change it from 69% 31% no to the strike, and then within an hour it was reversed.
And it had a massive explosion of votes.
Yeah, like a ridiculous, like, you know, yeah, not explainable by humans. Like,
yeah, and that's the, you know, Fox and Friends has come in, has moved into the spotlight as a big hub of conservative opinion.
Right, because it is well known that Trump watches Fox and Friends.
Yeah, a big deal is made of that.
I just love the name of the show. It sounds like a kid's show. And so Trump sits down, you know, with his plate of cut up apple to listen to to watch his favorite show. It's so play school. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, and I do worry that that's a really concerning trend, that there does seem to be no fucks given about opinion, right, let alone democracy. There was no consent manufactured. There was no even deference to, well, let's do a, you know, that the OPCW were on their way to go and do the study when this occurred, when the bombing occurred. So the independent fact-finding mission was, they didn't even arrive. They didn't even get there before the place was, you know, erupted.
Could have given them fucking 48 hours.
48 hours to just something. Have a look at it, but no. You know, yeah, just to say, oh, we let them have a look and then we got this, you know. There's been...
didn't even try.
They did not even try. And, you know, let alone a vote given. Theresa May bulldozed through, did not take a vote in Parliament. They just...
yeah, that was surprising. Like, you would definitely... I would definitely not expect America to go to Congress, because we just don't do that anymore. That's barely in living memory.
Right.
anymore. But England, not... Theresa May just saying, yeah, we're just going to do this, was kind of surprising.
Well... I mean, the rumors are coming out that the Brits were behind the actual chemical weapons attack, so that would explain her desire to get this over and done with.
We gotta kill some evidence there.
Yeah, Macron, the French guy, like has said before, you know, he's been eager to do this for a while. Germany declined, so that's a good sign. Canada declined.
But Germany, like Merkel, supported it. I saw.
Did she?
Yeah, she would voice support for it. Australia voiced support for it. Fucking, who's that Ken Barbie Superman guy in Canada?
Trudeau.
Yeah, he was all for it. No. So, shit. Like, they didn't add their weapons to it, but they were all like, yeehaw, yeah, that's fine.
Right, so is this the move from the invisible totalitarianism, like, into the just straight up, yeah, we do what the fuck we want and you'll shut up kind of totalitarianism?
Yeah, I wonder, like, is this just a way of pacing us into the new reality where it's like, yeah, we're the public's just like, yeah, no, don't do that, elected officials. And the elected officials are like, okay, that's cute, but we're just gonna... Because, you know, if they do have this major confrontation with Russia planned, eventually they're going to have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, eventually they're going to have to, they would have to move into, you know, nobody's going to consent to a unnecessary confrontation, which could lead to their children getting vaporized.
Right. Right. No one wants that. Yeah. No one wants that. But it is interesting watching how this people are lining up on this, you know.
Yeah, the divisions, right?
The divisions are changing.
Right, the battle lines are being much more clearly redrawn.
Right, so just like the Bernie thing split the Democrats, you know, between the establishment and anti-establishment progressives, this has drawn a line in the sand down between the Republicans who are regular Republicans and you know would always go for Trump, but also the Trump people who are like, yeah, yeehaw, like war, whatever, like, and definitely weren't, obviously weren't in it for the promises that Trump made in the election, where he was very anti-interventionist and he was talking about, like, you know, let's get out of the Middle East, etc. So there's yeah, there's been a definite split in the ranks, which is really encouraging because it's good to know, you know, who your bedfellows are.
Right.
But that also means there's been this weird split where the establishment Democrats are, like, basically saying the same thing as the establishment Republicans. Like, they're all on message there.
Right, yeah, they're all for the strikes. The Mick resistance is all about it. They're like, yeah, good. I mean, we'll mumble something about Trump not being good, but...
What I find is atrocious is when they mumble how, well, Trump gave them some, like, you know, that the some warning about it, so they got to hide their like, Neera Tanden's like all about how Trump gave them warning, you know, some warning so that the people could move their stuff. Oh my god!
Didn't kill
you, horrible
Syrians.
Bitch! You horrible fucking bitch! Oh, well, they got to salvage some of their things. Oh, Neera, how terrible!
They got to have fewer soldiers killed.
Yeah. What a fucking bloodthirsty ghoul. I just hate them all.
Well, a New York Times. Published that article about how it's like, all right, well, that's fine that you did that, but what are you going to do about all of the rest of the Syrian military?
Yeah.
You're just going to let them have a military that isn't exploded.
So we have this bizarre scenario where the establishment Democrats are actually more hawkish than the establishment Republicans, who are saying, yes, good job, you've done well. The establishment Democrats are like, you could do more. You could, more bloodshed, more.
Definitely could have killed more Syrians and Russians.
Yeah, but look, you didn't, you gave them warning. They could move things and stuff, and like there wasn't nearly enough bloodshed.
Mm.
Disgusting people. So anyway, at least they're all in the same camp now.
Right. Right, and then on the other side, you have the lefties who are just, yeah, fuck you, Trump, rightly so, and saying, oh, this guy's so awful because he's doing this awful thing, which is very straightforward.
Very normal thinking.
And then, very pleasantly, surprisingly, you have all the MAGA crowd, the anti-establishment right, or most of the actual MAGA crowd going, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Paul Joseph Watson, Ann Coulter just retweeted you.
Right. Who would have thought that would ever happen?
Paul Joseph Watson and Ann Coulter.
On this timeline.
So Caitlin made a post about how it's great that the right wing is making these anti-war videos and attacking pro-war sentiment within their own ranks. Using, you know, conservative concepts. I don't know if they call themselves conservatives anymore. I thought they were conservatives, and then I saw Mike Cernovich tweeted something about how, like, oh no, I'm not a conservative. That's a soy ideology. I don't know what that actually means.
He was also demanding that people. Look, who knows? Who knows?
I'm just gonna call them conservatives because I'm too far away from that.
Yeah,
and I don't know all the terms, but I'm gonna call them conservatives for lack of a better understanding of what they are.
Mm.
They use, like, Paul Joseph Watson. He talked about it in he didn't go lefty at all.
It was very much their moral universe, wasn't it?
Right. He talked about how you're going to get the Christians killed and you're going to cause a refugee crisis and stuff. In addition to all the other horrible things like a World War III. And he talked about how virtually all U.S. wars are started on false pretenses. It was great. It's definitely worth checking out. And yeah, you tweeted about how like it's good that there are conservatives attacking the pro-war sentiment within their own ranks in a very clear conservative language that lefties can't really do. Like, we can make the case in our own terms, but we don't understand.
You don't know how to. It's like trying to, you know, talk to a fundamentalist Christian about your own. Like, they have a different language and a different way of seeing things.
Yeah, and different buttons that work and stuff. Different. Yeah, yeah. They understand. Like, they're much better suited at speaking to their own ranks, in a way that will move the dial. So Paul Joseph Watson and Ann Coulter retweeted you saying that. So they obviously agree. And you said, more of this from the right, please. And that. So that's great. That's awesome. That means that there's like the leadership is seeing that. That's really important.
It is really important.
So that we can probably count on that to continue. And then you got Tucker Carlson. I was surprised to see Sarah Palin is you know. She's pretty much worthless on a lot of things, but she was like, yeah, that's stupid. Why are we doing that? That makes no sense. Golly gosh, by gosh.
When Sarah Palin can say it's stupid, it doesn't make any sense.
John McCain's running mate, everybody. Meanwhile, smarter than most Democrats.
Right. His brain is Swiss cheese, and he is he's tweeting out these long statements of, you know, of congratulations and but, you know, urging on more. Of course you are, John McCain. Of course the dying man wants the world to die. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, if you're that close to death, you really shouldn't get to advocate for a world war.
You should not.
You should just, you don't get a vote. You're basically done with the world. You don't get to kill it.
Right.
We still need it. You're done with it.
Yes. Oh, he's so gross. Or if that is him, who knows?
Yeah, it might just be a basic Weekend at Bernie's thing at this point. Yeah. Who knows how much brain he actually has and how much of his things he's actually writing.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's, it is interesting. It's really interesting how this is kind of, at least, you know, the one good thing, you know, I'm always looking for good things. Can't even help myself. But the one good thing about this is that despite the death and destruction, that this is kind of clarified for people where they stand, and especially when this is such a blatant, obnoxious false flag with, you know, such a bullying aspect to it, you know, just a blatant, you know, this is, so you're just going to do that, are you, territory? So you're just looking me right in the eye, like they're looking at us, watching them, and they know that we've seen everything that they've done so far to manufacture this whole scenario. They know that we know that they're lying. They know that. We know that they know that they're lying, and they know that they're lying, and they're still doing it.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, which is scary.
And I think that's what's freaking out, like, the InfoWars crowd and the MAGA people, because they're all about the false flag thing. They've been getting false flag lectures ever since this Russiagate thing started.
Right.
And, you know, for a long time before, depending on how long they've been following InfoWars.
Right.
And stuff. So they know what to watch for.
Yeah.
They know what this looks like. They know how American wars generally start. So they're like, fuck, no! So that you're seeing this clear line being drawn. Like, you went after Bill Mitchell, this really disgusting MAGA guy who just gives me the creeps in his videos.
Yeah.
And he's there basically saying, looks like all you guys are attacking Trump. Are you trying to get Democrats elected?
Right.
You're attacking Trump over the Syria thing. So you just want to get... We're approaching a midterms. Don't you know about the midterms? Why are you trying to get Democrats elected? Kind of suspicious. You say you're conservatives?
So where have we heard that line before? Like that.
Right, right.
Partisan shit.
Yeah, that's exactly like the establishment Democrats. Yeah,
yeah. So, well, you just got to shut up and take it because, you know, what else is going to happen? Yeah. But, you know, that where are you going to go? Where are you going to go?
Put a pussy hat on that bitch.
Oh, God. Yeah, so...
So there's the guys like him. There's the yay Israel, yay war, yay neocon Trump supporters, too.
Right.
Who are cheering him on and saying this is great. And there's quite a lot of them, too. Those pundits are all writing articles about how good it is and trying to keep some fraction of Trump's base intact. But you're really seeing a pretty clear split between the yay Israel neocons and the make America great non-interventionists. And we may, depending on what continues to happen, we just may see that wedge getting bigger and bigger. And people like us winding up more and more on the side of a divide with those types.
Right.
But...
That's good, though, because we don't want to be on the side of the globalist cucks. I've worked that out about the MAGA crowd. You do not want to be on the side of the globalist cucks.
Yes, but also...
You want to be based. That's another thing that I figured out about them.
You're very hip. I'll put one of those cartoon frogs on your... You have that. I mean, like...
I'm such a mum about this stuff. So I've worked out what the language is. So I can talk to the young people. Am I based?
Okay, yeah. But also...
But also, yeah.
Talking to anti-war conservatives does make you a Nazi.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But can we talk about this for a second?
Right.
How vicious, how nasty have those cunts been? The left, your own people, have they been to you for months and almost a year now? Months and months and months and months saying, as soon as Trump tells those people to go to war, they'll say, absolutely. Trump says jump, they'll say, how high? And they said as soon as Trump pivots towards war, they will play along right with it. That was their whole argument to you. You're saying that you need to work with them to fight war. They're going to be worthless. They're just cultists. They're mindless idiot Nazis. And they'll just take their marching orders from Trump. So you're wrong and you should stay far away from them. How wrong were those cunts?
They were so fucking wrong.
Do you think they will ever apologize for being so spectacularly wrong?
I will ask them to. Once this has died down, I am actually going to ask them to. But fucking bullshit about, like, you know, they have spent nearly a year now trying to tell me that this trope... I hate that fucking language too, that whole academic language. It's problematic. This is a problematic trope that I'm pushing here, that there are anti-war, anti-establishment Trump people who will stand up to war if Trump goes to war. That was like, I was making that up, bullshit up. That was all in my mind. That was my imagination, not their ignorance.
Right. It couldn't possibly be that you saw something they didn't and understood the dynamic that they were too far away from to understand.
Couldn't possibly be that I had actually stepped out of my fucking echo chamber for long enough to work out what the landscape was as well. I mean, they're just showing just how deeply ignorant they are about, you know, the thing that they should know a lot about. This is, they call themselves, you know, journalists, they call themselves media people, and they had no idea that this even existed, that this side of, you know, the MAGA people even existed until I brought it to their attention. And so they is so ugly to me right now is I see them trying to pace people into their narrative like they're doing damage control, but like, you know, well, yeah, but why is she why is she trying to why isn't she coming to us as anti-war people. Why is she going to this MAGA crowd when she could come to us? Oh my God, you poisonous fucks. I can't go anywhere near you. And anytime I go near you, you call me like a Nazi sheepdog. Some guy had his like Twitter handle as Kato's is a Nazi sheepdog. Anytime I go near any of those cunts, they try and destroy me. And that now they want me to collaborate with them, and they're upset with me that I'm not turning around and saying, oh yeah, well hey, look, there's this whole anti-war left over here that you'll never hear about because they're like 1,000 meters away from anything like real.
They're too insulated in their echo chambers. There's yeah. nothing actually going on there.
Yeah, like they only know the 300 people that they talk to each other, but you know, you should, like, there are actually some intelligent people in there, which there are, but they're also poison. They are such poison to any movement forward because they completely destroy anyone who steps outside of their little insular world.
Well, I mean, just look at the effective way to get anti-war sentiment into the mainstream is to be willing to ignore ideological boundaries and advance specific issues which align with yours. Look at the two anti-war speeches that we've seen since all this started that went trending on Twitter
right.
were Tucker Carlson
yep.
and Alex Jones.
Right.
Both just, you know, Alex Jones had his, oh, fuck, Trump, fuck. And Tucker Carlson had his brilliant speech where he talked about fucking Yemen and everything. He talked about everything.
And Paul Joseph Watson's also, that speech also.
Yeah, that got out there. I don't know if that was trending, but that was he got a lot of visibility. And it just is a more effective way to fight, to be willing to cross collaborate when someone's right about a thing, they're right about that thing. It doesn't actually matter that Tucker Carlson has said weird things about immigrants or how many genders there are. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't make him wrong about war.
Right.
And
I also make he also talks to a whole different section of people, or an audience of people that, you know, these assholes in their tiny echo chambers will never ever get access to. I mean, right. they hardly even walk out of their little deep blue cities, you know. Right. It's not like they're out there in the fucking redneck country talking to you know, people who
right now they'll block it. They'll block anyone who has a Pepe avatar. Yeah, you know,
they will, and they will attack people who allow Trump people to follow them. This is how poisonous they are. So yeah so they're worthless. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I don't care that I'm not sharing your shit. I can't even look at your shit because I have to block you because you can't. I can't be anywhere near you. You literally tried to destroy me. So fuck you.
Yeah, and they say that like you're not collaborating with leftists. I mean, the majority of your following is left, and
yeah.
you actively defended Greenwald the other day. You share stuff from leftists routinely. You collaborate with Nico House. You collaborate with Jamal Thomas, Tim Black. You work with him. There's all these progressives that you're working with right now, and but they're not, like, they don't have the official tick of, like, people who don't isolate themselves enough from all the right people. They're not far enough into the echo chamber.
We have talked about this before. It is literally 300 people on Twitter that I am upset about.
Right. Like,
they don't even make it to Facebook.
Like, no.
But the thing is, their bullshit, poisonous rhetoric does make it onto Facebook. Like, I routinely come across people who I've had nothing to do with whatsoever, and they will say, oh, aren't you that chick who, like, is an alt-right Nazi? And I'm like, who are you and how did you get there? Well, the well has been poisoned by these fucking cunts who are just so egotistical that they can't even see their fucking, like, ah. Anyway, I'm very upset about that because, you know, I think we'd, like, at this point, I'm looking at all the things that we could have done had we had a bigger voice, had we had more movement.
Had you not been actively silenced.
Had I not been actively muted by these fucking, you know, there's so many avenues, you know, of anyway, and also I know I'm not the only person they did that to.
Right.
They do this routinely to people.
That's what they do. Well, it's just, I mean, just sectarianism is their religion. Is the far left in general just does sectarianism. Like the further left you go, the more vitriolically sectarian they get.
Right. So there is, you know, like it's not just me that they've muted. There are many left voices.
They've wedged out tons of people. We see it every day.
Yeah.
But also, you're arguing an argument that has already been won.
As well, yeah.
Like, I mean, this is...
I am shaking my fist as the door...
As they leave the door. Yeah, I mean, you were proven right. The biggest voice by far against this is not coming from the left. It's not coming from the Democrats. Mm. It's coming from right-wingers.
Yeah, where's Bernie on this, hey?
Bernie's like, so, well, there's a constitutional, you gotta go through the constitution, and he didn't dot all his I's and cross all his T's. He's not even saying it was immoral and awful and something that should never happen. It was just basically legalist mumbo-jumbo, which is exactly what the Republicans, the posing the Republicans did against all of Obama's bullshit.
Having said that, how good has Ajami Baraka been?
He's always awesome, though. He's never not right.
Yeah. And Jill Stein's.
Jill Stein's a amazing, consistent anti-war voice. Greenwald, despite his fucking overwhelming evidence for chemical weapons doofy thing, he's been really good on anti-war. Max Blumenthal, Michael Tracy. We hadn't heard much from Michael Tracy in a while.
Yeah, but he's back on. I think, you know, yeah, I guess there is a... Maybe Cenk took him off the leash there for a while so he could get back on Twitter.
Speaking of Cenk, even Cenk has been okay.
He's been all right.
Surprisingly okay, but also, like...
Really, a little paranoid about Russiagate.
Yeah, again, still obnoxious about saying, like, well, maybe that tweet from Trump was his way of communicating to Putin to move his...
Yeah, come on, Cenk. Jesus Christ.
Grow up.
Grow up. Yeah. You gross thing. But anyway, we'll take it. Not that, but, you know, he has said some really good things. Oh, because you can also, and I'm happy, I'm fine about, like, you know, you can be anti-Assad and anti-Russia and still think that the Russians stole the election, but you can also be anti-war in Syria, and I will line up right next to you.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fine.
Even if you helped run us 99 of those yards...
No.
Even if you helped get us all the way right underneath the basket, whatever, fine, better late than never.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I am. There is a part of me that's still pissed off at the Russiagators for manufacturing this freaking Russiaphobia.
Right, yeah, and understandably so. But we'll take help from them, too.
Whatever, yeah.
Even if the only reason that you oppose starting World War III, potentially, and killing more Syrians and damaging, escalating with Russia, and all the many, many, many reasons that this should not happen. If the only reason you oppose it is because you hate things that Trump does, fine.
Whatever.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Come on aboard. Everyone.
Here's my hand. Let's hold.
Really, the only requirement is that you check the no box to should Trump attack the Syrian army. Should Trump start a war with Syria?
Yeah, there just needs to be a huge, giant no to this.
And really, even better, a big yes to should Trump get the fuck out of Syria altogether, but whatever, for right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything else you want to say about Syria?
There's so much to say, but also there's so much in the air right now. Like it's all up in the air. I'm not
right. Well, yeah, we don't know if there could be further strikes. Even we don't know. And the Russian ambassador said that there's going to be retaliations. We don't know what that will look like either.
Oh, yeah.
or if that will escalate things further or what. But I mean, I don't the question everyone has in the back of their mind, whether they admit it or not, is how far can Russia be pushed?
Yeah.
I just watched that guy Nurmagomedov. There's a Russian UFC champion now.
Mm-hmm.
You should never fight Russians. This guy.
They are the scariest white people.
Yeah. He's terrifying. He takes people down and beats on them in a way that you just haven't seen at an elite level in MMA in 10, 15 years even. Since like 2005. Like, you used to, a long time ago, see fighters get taken down and ground and pounded before everyone at the top was a really excellent wrestler. This guy, he can just, I don't want to bore people. But this guy is such a good grappler. He just takes people down and just beats on them and just gives them a miserable time in a way you just shouldn't be able to do at the very top of the lightweight division. Don't fight Russians. They did you not see what they did in World War II? They just threw their bodies into the Nazi war machine until it stopped.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Fucking Putin is a black belt. These people aren't afraid of fighting.
Not at all. Not at all. But they do know how to Aikido, too.
That's, yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. That's something you brought up before we went live, is the how we're meant to hate Russians.
Yeah.
We're being told to despise them.
Yeah.
But also, we're acutely aware that we are counting on their cool-headedness to keep us out of Armageddon.
Yes, we're meant to hate them with our mouth holes, but everyone across the world today is secretly hoping that the Russians will be able to put up with this bullying.
And so every time the sun comes up...
Yep, every time the sun comes up.
Thank you, Russia, thank you. Thank you for not doing the thing that a lot of other governments would do if attacked in this way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But also hate you!
Yeah.
It's really hard to keep that double think going.
It is, isn't it? Maybe that's where we'll turn to mush.
Just can't do the mental gymnastics anymore, and just all the narratives fall apart like a house of cards.
Right. I hope that's what's happening.
That would be lovely. Shall we wrap?
Yes, please.
Caitlin is an entirely listener and reader-supported journalist, so if you want to support her podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, or on CaitlinJohnston.com, where you can get on a mailing list and get an email whenever she publishes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on, people.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh, Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie. Oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady. They're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh, maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Fighting Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. a pretty Aussie flower. Love your girlfriend.